And I thank you now for your great word. Thank you for the things that we'll look at this morning. I ask that you'd help us as we look at this word. Just wanting to acknowledge that it is your Holy Spirit who is our teacher. Thank you that he's able to teach us and to lead us into all the truth. And I pray that would be happening in our lives, that the truth that sets us free, the truth that's so liberating, would be so full and complete in us. So may you do that work in us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, things are getting very close to the for us coming into the new build. Woohoo! What do you reckon, eh? So soon we'll be there. And you probably noticed that over the last few weeks I've put a bit of a hold on Ephesians, even though I love Ephesians, and we're nearly at the end. We're about to be looking at spiritual warfare, and I want to do that. I just thought it'd be good in just preparing our hearts for going into the new chapel, reminding ourselves of who we are and what we are to be about, whether we're in the old chapel, the hall, online, and especially when we go into the new chapel. It's not all about having a nice new building, is it? It's all about who we are and what we are to be about. And so over the last few weeks we've been looking at various passages, and one of the ones we looked at a few weeks ago was the one found in 1 Kings 8 verses 12 to 23. And we saw there how the temple of God, Solomon's temple, had been built. And at the opening ceremony, Solomon was speaking. And you could just tell by the words he shared in front of all the people that this temple that he had built was to be a place of, I wonder if you remember, a place of praise and proclamation and prayer. Nothing's changed. This new build. As we come as God's people, this place is to be a place of praise, proclamation and prayer. And of course when we talk about proclamation, we're talking about the proclamation now of the gospel, which Solomon never had. He had only the first part. We've got the full story now, so we can share the whole gospel. And then last Sunday we considered 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, where we learned that we, as God's people, form a holy place for God's presence to dwell in. Wow! And we are a holy priesthood who minister to God and minister to each other. And we are a holy people to praise our God. And another way to put it, we are living stones that form a spiritual house for our God. Living stones. Remember that? G'day fellow stones. Living stones. And we are priests. G'day fellow priests. We're all priests if we are in Christ. And we have been so privileged to be those who minister to God and each other. And I love how we are dressed as priests too, by the way. You have been robed in Christ's righteousness. And you have been crowned with Christ's Spirit. And you are to function as priests. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? So all these great things to get on into your head and heart and to understand who you are in Christ. And as I come into the new chapel, I want these thoughts to be so dominant that they help us, remind us of who we are and what we're to be about. Now this morning, we're going to consider another great picture of Christ's church, a picture that is particularly relevant to a local church like Bazo Church. And the picture is this: we are the body of Christ. What about that one? The body of Christ. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 very soon and get some great teaching about the body of Christ. And I want to start off by saying the body of Christ. I wonder how this body of Christ called Bazo, I wonder how this body is functioning. It's good to ask this. Are we a well-functioning body for Christ? Are we like... The picture that comes to my mind is, are we like an Olympic gymnastic person? What do you reckon? The body is just incredible what it can do. That's what we're to be like. We're to be like a functioning body for Jesus. We have our twins, twin granddaughters, Nora and Michaela, and they have begun gymnastics, and every now and then Colin and I have the privilege to go and see them. And they are just so full of energy, and it's so hilarious seeing them. They can do all sorts of stuff. You know, bend this way, bend that way, jump here, jump there. Their bodies are amazing. And the body of Christ is to be amazing, very functional and well. But is our, or maybe the body of Christ here at Bathurst isn't maybe like that. And I don't think we are at that high level. We need to grow towards it. But sometimes the body of Christ is not well. And I want to now use another picture of unwellness. And I want to pick the one that my mother-in-law and my own dad suffered with the number of years before they passed away. And I remember this disease. Their head was very good and well, but their body wasn't. And the signalling to their body was not good. And as a result, they would stumble and fall. They would lock up. They would have pain. They would have all sorts of issues with their body. And that disease is called Parkinson's. And it's a picture it's a terrible disease where the brain is functioning so well, but the body just cannot. And I wonder how many churches there are. And how does God look at us where we are like that? The head's fine, because Christ is always fine, but the body isn't well, because we're not connected to him properly. And that's like Parkinson's, where the nerve, the signalling is not happening as it should. And that can happen to any of us, any church, including Bazo. So this morning we're going to be looking at the body of Christ. We're going to be looking at three great things to help us know how to get to be a healthy body. You want to be a healthy body? I do. I want you guys to be a healthy body. A healthy body for Christ, for the glory of God. And I love this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 because we're going to see three great things about how to get to be a healthy body. And these are the three statements we'll be looking at. We are to consider ourselves to be all one. We are to consider ourselves to be all important. And we are to be all caring. That's going to come out of our scriptures that we're going to look at this morning. These are the things that we need to take on board that we might truly be a healthy body for Christ. A healthy body isn't just by having great preaching or having really great worship songs. A healthy body comes about by us having right attitude toward each other and having our great care for one another. So let's have a look at these things this morning. We're going to start off by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read verses 12 and 13 to start with. For even as a body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptised into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now I love those first few verses we read, where it talks about how the body, the human body, has different members to it, as you all know. You know, our body is made up of various parts, but we know that all those various parts form one body. And so that's how it is in Christ. We are all different from each other. Oh boy, are we different. What a motley crew you are. I say that word, but that's how it is, you know. Like we have different personalities and characters. We have different experiences and histories. We have different things all over the place, you know. Different backgrounds and stories. That's how it is, isn't it? And yet, even though we are so different from each other, we are all one because of Christ.
Amen.
Because of Christ. Our oneness doesn't come from being of the same ethnicity group. It doesn't come from being a homogenous lot. It comes from Christ. And I love how it's put so beautifully in verse 13 about the Holy Spirit is the one who brings about that oneness. It says in verse 13, I'll read it again, for by one Spirit we were all baptised into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The word one comes out three times, and it's the Spirit that makes us one. And we need to embrace this. Friends, we need to understand these great truths. We are such a mixed lot, such diversity amongst us, but in Christ, by His Spirit, we are one. Do you understand that? You know, so often we understand only certain aspects of the gospel. We all understand, I trust, that Jesus died for us and rose again. That He died for our sins. He was punished for our sins so that we could be forgiven, be made right with God. But do we also appreciate that that same Jesus, the moment we humble ourselves and call on Him to save us and submit ourselves to follow Him, He gives the Spirit. He baptizes us in the Spirit. We are flooded with the Holy Spirit. We are made to drink of the Spirit. What language? To be filled with the Spirit. And that, my friend, brings about the great truth that we are all one. All of us. And it's something we need to really appreciate. We are one. I love it. I love what God has done for us. I love how in Ephesians chapter 4, a few months ago we would have been looking at this, in Ephesians chapter 4, 4 to 6, we read, there is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It's all about how we've been made one. You've joined the Trinity. You're part of God's great family. We are one. And we need to understand this and live it out. So what does that mean? We cannot be tolerating divisions and schisms. We cannot be allowing these sort of things to happen. Because we are all one. The Spirit's work. God will that we be one. And we need to be diligent in making sure as we praise the Lord here and as we go into a new chapel that we celebrate and rejoice and live out the fact that we are all one. I'm going to say it again. It's so important. And we need to be really making sure this happens. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3 it says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. The Spirit brings unity. Make sure you're diligent to preserve it. Why is it saying that? Because we're the ones who can mess it up. We're the ones who can bring about factions. We're the ones who can cause trouble. We can gossip and slander. We can bring all sorts of damage and forget that we are, as God's people, to be one. And you know, when I think about this, this is such an important thing because it was Jesus' prayer to the Father before He died where He prayed for this unity. In John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, we read these words of Jesus. So glad they recorded for us. He says to His Father, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in Me through their word. Who's that? That's us. The disciples were faithful in sharing the gospel. Jesus is praying for people who would come to faith in Christ down through the ages as the gospel is shared. And what does He pray for us? That they may all be one. Even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. So I want to encourage our church to be a healthy church. How do you have a healthy body of Christ here at Bazo? You live out. We're all one. You look at each other and you don't think of it's them and us. No, we are one. And that's how we are to see each other. All because of what God has done for us in Christ through the Spirit. But let's continue on looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're now going to look at something else about the body of Christ that Paul brings up here. And the next big thing is that we are all important. You like that? We're all important. And we'll see that as we read the next few verses, 14 to 17. Of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? You see what Paul's saying here as the Holy Spirit leads him to write this letter? He's telling us about how we're all important. Isn't that great? It's not the pastor. It's not the most gifted and the most resourceful, those who give so much. It's all Christians who are important. And that's a very important attitude that we are to have toward each other. We're to look at each other and go, you're important. You're important. even this person has upset you. You're important. All important. You've got to get that in your head, in your heart. All at Bazo, in Christ, are important. That's what Paul's saying. Just like our body parts. It's all important. I think of the little toe, which I broke many years ago. Boy, I had no idea that that little toe has a part to play for foot stability and for balance. There you go. There's a little gland, a pituitary gland, pea size, that is so small but so important in determining growth and development and controlling the endocrine system. Wow. Then there's the big organs, you know. We think these are the all important organs, the heart and the liver. Maybe the shoulder. What an amazing joint that is. But it's all important. We know that, don't we? In terms of our human body, everything is important. And that's how we're meant to view the church. We are all important. So, we're different from each other, and we've got to appreciate. We need to appreciate that even though we're different from each other, we're never to despise somebody. Oh, the other thing we're not ever to do, we're never to clone someone to be like me. We need to appreciate our differences and just remember, all important. Important to Jesus, important to me. So I want to ask the Lord to help us. This is healthy church where we live this out. Now, the reason why we are all important, let me go on to the next reason why we're all important, is because we all have a part to play. It's not just you're all important because you're warming up a pew. You're all important because of your part to play in Christ Church. So what are you? No one's a head. I'm not a head. Christ is the head. We're all important. What part are you? Are you an eye? Are you an ear? Are you a mouth? Are you a shoulder? Are you arms? Are you legs? You need to understand your part. And you need to play your part. It's playing that part that makes you all important. God has given you spiritual gifts. He's given you various ministries to do. He wants you to fulfill your purpose. And I just want to read to you now 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4-7. And it says there, "Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of ministries, and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." So God has gifted you. He has given you ministries. He wants you to execute those with love and heart for the common good. Not for your good, but for the common good. That's why you're important. You have a part to play. And I like verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." Do you know what that is saying? Let's make it really practical and bring it right to home. At Bazo, God has organized Bazo. He has brought you here. It says that. God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. When it comes to the body of Christ, we need to actually not think of the whole body worldwide, but the local body. We are, at Bazo, the body of Christ. He has brought you here. It's his will. And he wants you to be the all-important part of the church by playing your part at church. That's how it is. So if you're not doing anything, come and see one of me or one of the elders, and we'd love to try and help you to have a part to play in our church. That's how it is. Praise God for what he's done, I reckon. So, all one, all important. Do you view each other as all important? Or something to work on? Let me read Philippians chapter 2, 1-3. Philippians 2, 1-3 says, "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion," and I just pause there, oh my goodness. Why is the word "if" there? It's like I cannot go on before I say, yes, there is. There is so much in Christ. There is encouragement, there is consolation, there is fellowship. Well, Paul sort of expecting you to say, yes, there is. Well then, Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Wow, look at that unity, that oneness, all one. Then he goes on to say, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Oh, that's even at a higher level. You are more important than me. That's the attitude I am to have in my heart. Do you understand how when these truths of God come into our heart and mind, it's these things that bring about such a healthy church, a healthy body of Christ. It really does. All one, all important. All right, let's now have a look at the next part, the last part. And I'm going to read to you from verses 18 all the way to verse 25. It's actually 26. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. That's 18. Verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honourable, on these who bestow more abundant honour and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honour in that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, because we depend on each other. And it says something else, but that the members may have the same care or concern for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. So in this bigger section I just read out, Paul continues to speak about how we are all important. We all matter. You know, we can't just have a body all full of eyes. That would be disgusting. We can't have a body all full of ears. No, that's just revolting. You know, we need differences in us. We need diversity. And we need to really embrace that. It's so good to have diversity in the body of Christ. But you notice that as Paul continues on, he ends up landing in a very beautiful area. And that beautiful area is, as he thinks about the body, he knows that the human body, our body is so connected, and our body is so functions all together, that in that sense our body has a care for every other part of the body. So much so that when one part of our body suffers, it's like the whole body suffers. And that's how it is, isn't it? That's how we know that in the human body. And Paul wants to bring this home to us and to tell us that's how it's meant to be in the body of Christ. What's the key point coming out of this? You are to be all caring of one another. You are to care for one another. You're to be concerned for one another. When somebody is suffering, you are to be engaged with them and to help them and to feel their suffering. When they're rejoicing, you are to be engaged with them and rejoice with them. We are to be caring for each other, not superficially, but deeply. Just as the human body is so connected that it cares, it feels, the whole body feels when things are not right. That's how we're meant to be. That is such an important thing to get right. That's healthy church. So often as people, we are so worldly, we come in, we fly in and fly out. But we're meant to be so caring of each other. And I wanted to say to you, as I think about these things, one of the great ways that we can care for each other is going back to what I've already shared, and that is where we really have in place those two big things we've mentioned before, that we are all one and that we are all important. It's those things that drive us to a place where we care for each other. Let me tell you something so important. When you were saved, it was very individualistic. You came to Jesus on your own. You bowed before the cross of Jesus. You gave your life to him. You became a Christian. I wonder if we understand this. As soon as you come through the door of salvation, it's no longer on your own. You are part of the body of Christ.
You are meant to have eyes open and go, wow, look at God's family. I am part of them. And if that's happened, then that makes you care. But if you haven't taken that on board, if you think that Christianity is about God helping you, it's all about me, then you won't have that heart. You have come through the door of salvation into the glorious kingdom of Christ. If that faith thought that help us have a love for each other. But what about this? I live in a world, you live in a world where it's just so much about self. And so often as people who come to church, they can be caught up in all sorts of things, like where you come and what is your expectation? To get, not to give. To consume, not to contribute. That's a very worldly thing. And where we don't view each other as all important, it's about me. And if I'm not happy here, I'm going to go somewhere else. You see, when we understand that we are all one, and we're all important, and that it's not about me, but it's about others, that leads so naturally for us having care and concern for each other. You're here by God's design and will. You're here to be one with others. You're here to be to work together, to be all important to each other. And from that flows care. A loving care for each other. And I just want to finish now by saying to you all that as we continue on as a church, as we go into a new build, I am praying with all my heart that we might truly live out the fact that we are all one. And that we do everything we can to break down any division, any things that are happening that are breaking that oneness. And that we also really live out that we are all important to each other. It's not the pastor who's important, it's every one of us. But I also want to really pray and ask the Lord to help us be all caring. So I just want to share personally as a pastor, I get to see this, and it's not like it's 100%, but I do pick up on how when I visit people, there are quite a number of people who feel on their own. They feel neglected. They feel unloved. They feel uncared for. And I'm just saying that to you. That's what I observe. So I know, as a church, we need to really pick up our effort in caring for each other well, in understanding people who are struggling in life. We don't just go to who we normally go to, but we learn to meet other people and to help them and encourage them in life. In the days we live in a world that's more hostile to the Christian faith, we've got to do much better in caring for each other and loving each other from the heart. It's God's will. God's Spirit's going to help us. God's not saying, I want you to be more busy. He wants to get your priorities right, that you might be caring of each other. Care for one another well. Be gentle. Be kind to each other. Lift each other up. Don't judge. Don't condemn. Don't pull down. But do the opposite. Care for one another. This brings about a healthy body for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our head wants. He wants our body to be healthy for him. All right. We're going to sing now a beautiful song called the Servant Song, that speaks about this love and care that we are to have for each other.
Thank you.
that a great song? A beautiful song. I love the sentiment and the music and the words. But lift them out. Let's ask the Lord to help us live these words out. We're stuck together. God's done that. We're to love each other. Let us celebrate that we have been made all one. We have been made a people who are all important to each other. And we are to be a people who care for each other, all caring. And I just thank the Lord that He has brought us up, brought us into His oneness. And He considers all of us important. We say that so often. Even if we were the only person on this earth, He would have died for you. And He's all caring. He cares for us more than we can ever imagine. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, thank You for the great God You are. We began with those great truths that You, O Lord, are good and Your love endures forever. And in Jesus we see the fullness of that, the great goodness of our God, even You, and Your great love for us, a love that endures forever. And we thank You that through Jesus and through the coming of the Holy Spirit, it's phenomenal what we have been made into. Us motley crew, like, Lord, we had no part with You. We were so lost and not a people at all. But You've made us Your people, Your children. And we thank You that we've come into a place where we are all one. Lord, may in this place, in Bazo, we would be a people who have no division and schisms, but there is oneness with us. And I pray that we would consider each other all important, that we would really treasure each other and the contribution that we make, even if it's small or big, and that, Lord, You'd help us to be all caring. Lord, I know the world I live in where the world is so toxic to us and we feel so pulled down and challenged. I pray that we would love and care for each other so well, so much more than we are doing, that You give us a real heart for our brothers and sisters here at Bazo. And Lord, I ask for all these things to happen for the glory of Your great name, that Jesus would be honoured, that our head would be pleased with His body here at Bazo. May we be a healthy body for Your glory. In Jesus' name, the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.